Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
Thanks again for joining us on another episode of 3GT. That's Three Guys Theologizing. I am one of those guys. I'm Aaron Sams, and the other two guys are Barry York and Kyle Borg. And today we want to talk about vacations, because what else are we thinking of in January, right? Actually, Kyle, you just got back from a bit of a vacation, yeah?
I did. I went on a cruise with my bride.
Oh, nice.
That's not just a bit of one.
No. So cruises are kind of notorious for food. Was there ample supply of food?
Food was not lacking in any way.
That's good. So can I ask where you guys went?
So we sailed out of Galveston, Texas, and went on a 5-day cruise that works best with our schedule. So we sailed out of Galveston, Texas. We sailed down to Cozumel, Mexico, where for our 11th anniversary, which was at the end of December, I rented my bride a beach cabana at an all-you-can-eat, all-the-fun-you-want beach resort. So we did that for the day in Cozumel, and then we got back on the ship. The next day, we went to Progreso, Mexico, and then we sailed from there back up to Galveston.
Cool.
Wow.
Sounds fun. So the point of this podcast is not to just talk about what Kyle ate on his cruise or what the beach cabana was like, but what we want to talk a little bit about is just vacations in general. First off, you know, why do we need them, or do we need them? Are there any passages in scripture that can give us any sort of indication that these are good things, that these are worthy things to do, or should we avoid taking time off and just work all the time? I mean, we're called to work in labor in our vocations, but what is it okay to take some downtime? Are there benefits from that? What are the benefits from that, and what can we learn from scripture? But before we get too deep into the weeds here, I do want to just kind of find out from you guys, what is a typical vacation for you and your family look like? Kyle, I think last year you guys went on a cruise too. Is that something that is kind of become your thing, or what?
One of the things that Rachel and I have kind of decided to do, we try to take one vacation with just each other each year. It's just very refreshing for us to get away from the busyness of a schedule, but also, and we love our children more than life itself, but it is nice, especially for Rachel, to be able to get a little bit of reprieve from that. Last year when we went on our cruise, it was the first time in 9 years that Rachel had gone childless for a night. She had never actually gotten a full night away from children. And my wife is a phenomenal mother. She does it elegantly. She does it gracefully, but it is nice to get away. So that has become one of our little practices, is we try to take a vacation, just the two of us. And then we take my other vacation time throughout the year, and we go camping with the whole family.
Yeah, for us, it's typically the family. We've been going to Lake Michigan, the Western Michigan, for years and years. Miriam's family had a place there that we used to go to, and now we rent for a week in the summertime. So that's our big family vacation. Miriam and I like to get away. I just gave her a little gift over the holidays, just a one night away at a bed and breakfast that we enjoy, and just to spend some time together. We try to do that on occasion, although it's not very often, probably not as often as it should be. Although we do have planned this year to take a trip together at the beginning of the summer to Ireland. So we're really looking forward to that. But that's only every, I wouldn't even say every blue moon. It's a lot more than a blue moon.
Yeah, we don't have any real like vacation traditions. We've taken a number of fun trips. I've think I've mentioned before, we took our family to Costa Rica a couple of years ago, cashed in a bunch of air miles I had accrued and went down there for a few weeks. And that continues to be a lasting memory for all of our family. And we always talk about wanting to go back. So we will have to do some saving of our pennies to do that. But we'd love to get back down there. Kyle, like you guys, we do a decent amount of camping, just kind of getting back into that. We fell out of that for a while. When the kids are little, it's hard to camp. So we've been trying to get into that as well. But I actually, this year, what we're really looking forward to is we're going to have a child-free long weekend. So my father-in-law for the last couple of years has taken my son to the Los Angeles Dodgers spring training camp in Phoenix, Arizona. And so we have stuck my son on a flight and grandma and grandpa pick him up in Phoenix and they go watch baseball. Well, this year, grandma was trying to get my girls to come along as well. And one of their best friends just moved to Phoenix last year. So George Wallace, if you're listening to this, thank you for taking my girls when they're down there as well for a couple of nights, but they're going to go. And so we're going to send all three kids to Phoenix and we're going to enjoy 5 days to ourselves. So we think we're going to do a staycation. We're going to save our money instead of spending it on a hotel. We're going to just go visit parts of the city and restaurants that we've been wanting to try and things like that. So that's kind of our
And you're going to finally get your tattoo, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to go to the South Side and we're going to get some tattoos. No, I have no idea. Probably not. I know definitely my wife will not be doing that and she will probably not want to spend her time watching me do anything such thing as well. But what I would like to know, guys, is why do we need these? Why do we take vacations? Is this just a culturally American thing? Is it an okay thing to do or should we just work and not take time to refresh ourselves?
Well, I think it's important for us to be careful not to overwork. Americans tend to, when you compare our society to other Western nations, we tend to, statistically speaking, take a lot more time devoted to work than we do necessarily vacations. So I do think it's a way to get away, refresh, find encouragement, break bad patterns, that type of thing. You know, when you think of it biblically, I think the Bible speaks to us regarding the need for rest and for refreshment. So there's some freedom in the scriptures, I think, for us to do this type of thing. You know, the Bible does talk about working 6 days, so we do have to be careful to fulfill our obligation, make sure that we're providing and being faithful to our work. But we still are given freedoms about how to work out that to the best to keep ourself able to keep working long term. It's easy to get broken down, discouraged, and so having some time away, I think, is always an encouragement.
Yeah, I think vacations largely are a matter of wisdom. I think if you want to approach anything close to a biblical teaching or a theology of vacation, as Barry has noted, I think it's just grounded in the idea of rest. Work is not an evil. Work is not a necessary evil. Work is a good thing. Our heavenly employer has given us work to do with our hands, and that gives us so much meaning and stewardship in this life. And yet, rest is also a principal part of who we are. It is a part of our makeup. You know, the fact that God has created all of us to need what we sleep a third of our life away, and not even away, we need that. We are created as creatures who need rest and who need respite from the labor of our hands. That's just a reality of who we are. You know, God himself, and we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but I think the Sabbath principle, and I just mean that very generally speaking, very broadly speaking, God in his goodness and in his wisdom has given us a principle of rest. He has structured our week around a rest. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of the Sabbath, but I'm just saying that God recognizes our need to take a break from life and from rest as well. And so it's these types of things biblically that I think make it a matter of wisdom. I think Barry's right. We need to make sure that we are laboring, that we are working. Scripture puts a very high value on a work ethic. The Apostle Paul goes as far to say that those who don't work don't eat. And yet we are created in a way where we need rest and time off. So I look at vacation as an extension of that, as a wisdom principle.
That's Kyle, you were talking about this idea of rest and this idea of Sabbath. In the Old Testament, you know, we have a weekly Sabbath, but then there's other, you know, Sabbath years, there's, you know, larger scale Sabbaths, you know, there's relieving of debt after a particular number of years and things like that. So those are, you know, clearly these times of refreshment, these times of rebooting are rooted in the way God has revealed himself to us through, you know, through his law and through the structures and cycles of time that he's given us. One of the interesting components of being in academic world is that people take sabbaticals. So my department chair will be on sabbatical next year. She's going to take a semester off. She's going to go do some research. She's going to try to write a book. So this is not just extended vacation time, but it's a time to kind of take a break and reboot and focus on some other projects than your typical toil. And this is something that I've heard of pastors doing as well, taking a sabbatical. What's the, so I mean, I can kind of talk about the academic side of things, but what's the rationale for pastors taking a sabbatical? Is it kind of the same to work on other projects they've needed to do or what?
I think it should be more along those lines. I do know some men who've taken sabbaticals, and often the same as in the academic world, they're doing it in order to write or go visit other parts of the church. It's a way to break routine. I think when you get locked into a routine year by year by year, you can begin to lose vitality, creativity. And so to break away from that routine and go and spend some time in a different environment where you can learn from others, engage others, I think can be a very helpful thing. It's kind of interesting you mentioned this, because I was just recently having a conversation with two brothers who are pastors, and they were somewhat laughing about that trend, because they were talking about some of the older ministers they know that worked their whole lives, yeah, and didn't even really retire that much, worked into their old age. So some of it's a little bit of our modern culture, and maybe a little bit more of this idea that we're these fragile creatures that have to have all this time away. I think we have to be careful about that as well. So I think a sabbatical should really fulfill a purpose. You know, why are you going off on the sabbatical? That, again, it should be refreshing. You should go, and if you're tired and weary, and just go work yourself more on a sabbatical. But you should be thinking about how to plan it in such a way that it can be a time of encouragement, refreshment, and fruitfulness.
Can I admit that I'm, not to start a fight, I'm actually not a huge fan, and if anybody in Winchester is listening, if you ever want to give me a sabbatical, I'll probably be inconsistent and take it. But I'm not a huge fan of pastoral sabbaticals. So I'll
and
just
and why is that, sir?
I understand that in the pastorate there's a spiritual demand, there's a spiritual burden, and it can be burned out. But I think for me as a pastor, and I'm saying this only 4.5 years into full-time pastoral ministry, so maybe take it with a grain of salt, I look at the many people in my congregation, and they work hard. Mm-hmm. They are very busy. They themselves are in the routine of life, and they don't have that same opportunity. You know, I have school teachers, or I have the director of our county's emergency services. He can't just go in and say, you know, I'm feeling a little exhausted, could I have a 6-month sabbatical? You know, my people don't get to do that, even though they're living exhausted, busy, tiring lives. I've really wrestled with, so what, if I can put it this way, I'm a pastor, so I think I can say it. What makes the pastor so special? That, you know, I know some pastors who expect it. Like, I should be getting a sabbatical. And I've just often wondered why. You know, my people who are blue collar workers, They don't get it. Why should I? So that's why I've never been a huge fan personally.
Well, it's interesting you say this, because in this discussion we were having today, one of the things we talked about is how, and there's studies been done, I don't have it right here in front of me, but I think the statistics say that for pastors, when they take a sabbatical, often within a year after they return, they leave that particular ministry. So a congregation probably should think a little bit before they do this about what might be the eventual outcome. I was a minister for 22 years, and I never took a sabbatical. I did take a month at one point where I wasn't doing my regular preaching duties, but there was some reasons for that that I won't mention here, but never really took a long-term sabbatical. I kind of felt the same way you do, Kyle, that this isn't something everybody else gets. And again, I'm not trying to judge those who do this. I think there can be legitimate and good purposes for them. But I do think the mindset that we have to have one, or that we should have one, I think especially pastors really need to be careful about that.
So it sounds like, you know, this idea of a sabbatical, be it academic or a pastoral one, should be very intentional, that this is not an extended vacation, that this is a time for focusing on a particular area of work or study or development, rather than just refreshment like a vacation would be.
Yeah.
Now I've bumped into some people in my life who look, and I'm going to deviate from vacation here, but who see something like retirement as a non-biblical concept, like we should always continue to work. And I don't want to talk about retirement, but are there people who have similar arguments towards vacation, that is a non-biblical concept? Have you heard those types of arguments or those things that are out there, or everyone just says no, vacations are fine?
I think there are men that I've heard who have a real strict view of the fourth commandment, and so view that only one day a week you're supposed to get off, and they often are working hard and use that as one of their excuses. But as Kyle was pointing out earlier, I think wisdom would dictate that if you look at the scriptures, God was giving his people in the Old Testament regularly time off with the feasts, as you mentioned earlier, Aaron. And so there's a principle there that I think we can employ, and all the encouragements to find our rest in the Lord. We don't only need spiritual rest. We certainly need it and should begin there, but our bodies tell us at times that we need rest. Often doctors have to dictate as people go into their offices broken that, well, what you really need is you need some extra rest. And so often we get forced there, and I think a little bit more planning and forethought could help us if we plan well vacations and times of a downtime. I keep a pretty busy schedule, I think, but I really, there's just times where I know I'm not getting the time I need with my wife, my family. I don't have the time I need to read and get restored, refreshed. And so I try to build in what I might call a little mini rest or mini vacation, where, you know, this is just going to be a day where we have more downtime and make sure that we're not pushing ourselves so hard that we're really not doing good for others or for ourselves.
You know, Aaron, I have too met those people who find retirement to be unbiblical. I usually use it more as a wisdom principle even though John Piper's Desiring God, I think, made a compelling case not against what we might call American retirement, maybe not retirement in general. But to this idea of vacations being unbiblical as well, Barry had alluded to the 6 days of work. You know, even Jesus and his disciples and their ministry took time to rest. You know, you think of Mark chapter 6, after John the Baptist is beheaded and the disciples go and they bury him. Jesus actually tells them, as the people begin to crowd, he says, where is it? He says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Jesus doesn't indicate there, well, you've got a Sabbath coming up, so just wait for that. There is this idea that even in the midst of stressful times and demanding times, we still need rest. So,
So Americans today have more leisure time than ever before. And yet it seems like people are just way more high strung and way more stressed out than ever before. And any ideas like why that's the case? So you guys mentioned, being a workaholic a little while ago, that there, you know, some people do struggle with that and they just work constantly. What's going on, do you think, in our American culture that we seem to have more leisure time because we have technologies that can take off some of our physical labor, and yet we seem to be working like crazy, and Americans do work more hours than just about anybody in any other country. I don't know what's going on in that dynamic. Any insight there?
I wonder if one possible answer to that is, again, we're living in this age of distraction and hyperconnectivity, so it's really hard to get away from your work because you're easily accessible through your email and phones and all of this. And I think we have to be more deliberate and disconnecting ourselves at times from work. I know I find myself at times just, I'm at home and it is actually a time I could be enjoying my family or whatever, but pretty soon I'm getting involved in an issue because an email beeped or whatever. And so I think we have to really be more careful how to not have our life so woven together with our technology and the ability for people to connect to us that we, again, we're running ourselves ragged. And that's one of the things I love about a vacation is you can say, I'm not going to be available or as available during this time, and just get away from all that communication.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot written and commented on the myth of American busyness. I'm not going to get into that and dissect that. I will say that busyness to me seems to be somewhat subjective. You know, I remember when Rachel and I were college students and we thought life was so busy because we've got a midterm that we've got to study for, we've got a paper that we've got to study for. And then along came our first daughter, Evelyn, and we were like, oh, we're busier than we have ever been. We've got this baby who cries at night and everything seems so, so hectic and so crazy. Oh, and then baby number two came along. And then baby number three, and then baby number four, and baby number five. And I always tell Rachel, it seems no matter what stage of life we get to, we are busier than we've ever been before. And I wonder sometimes, you know, our lives are probably lived on a grander scale in that way. Are Americans busier in one sense than people 100 years ago? Probably not. You know, you look at the way that they had to live their lives and the technology that was not available and things like that. I think there's statistics out there that kind of show in a quantitative way that we're probably not as busy. But nevertheless, I think we are busy. And I think we're a culture and a society that is very fast paced. And we move from one thing to another with great rapidity in ways that we've never seen before.
Yeah, and I think, Kyle, that fast-pacedness really just kind of creates a feeling of franticness, a feeling of just always on. And, you know, Barry, you mentioned, you know, turning off electronics and things like that. When we go away, we really try to turn off notifications. Actually, when we went to Costa Rica as a family a few years ago, I deleted my email app. I deleted all my social media. I had to completely get it off of my phone. I brought my phone mostly just so we'd have a map, just so we'd get around. But but any way for people to get in touch with me, there was, I had a few people that had my number that could text me if they absolutely needed to, but they knew that I am powering down here. I'm slowing down intentionally so that when I come back, I will be refreshed. I will be ready to get back to the thing that I've been called to do on a daily basis, but just grinding it out, it's hard. And I'm glad that we have a built-in day within our weeks to take a break and to rest. And maybe that's part of this franticness is people just not observing a Sabbath and not resting on the Lord's day.
Amen.
Contributes to this. I mean, the Sabbath was made for us. We were not made for the Sabbath. I mean, it is Amen. A gift that we can pause and not have to just go, 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 go constantly. So, I don't want to belabor this too terribly much. Sounds like we're all agreed that breaks are good. If you're going to take a sabbatical, make it focused and productive. Any closing thoughts on our discussion of validities of vacation and downtime?
Well, one of the things you're making me think of, Aaron, Kyle, as we talk about this, is just brought to mind Augustine's quote, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee, O Lord." And I think there's just this restlessness in the human soul. And I think there's so many things in American culture that play upon that, the consumerism and the fast pace, the desire for pleasure all the time. And so we just get addicted to these things. And again, it's hard to break from it. Andy Warhol, we're all wanting our 15 minutes of fame. And I think the key to it is we've got to really go back and seek the Lord. And as you were pointing out, the Sabbath, I think, helps us break with that. I think another component of all this that can tie in, it doesn't sound like a vacation, but it's a way of breaking is fasting from things, you know, breaking from whether it's food or, as you said, from your connection through media and smartphones and that type of thing. Just taking a break and quieting your soul before the Lord. It is so refreshing when you do it. But it's getting there and dying to yourself to get there. That's the hard part. So trying to really just find our rest alone in the Lord.
All right. Well, I think that is a good note to end on. And guys, I appreciate your perspective on this. I will close out with one thing, that there's been a long tradition of using silence in our daily lives, in our faith, and just finding time to be quiet and to get away from the craziness of life. I would encourage everyone out there to just carve out some time. And if you don't put it on your schedule, you're not going to do it. So carve out some time for silence, for quiet and reflection and prayer, and utilize that time to refresh yourself on a daily basis and hopefully take advantage of the more structured times you have on vacations as well, and to come back and get back to work. So, well, thank you.
Turn off the podcast. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, exactly. Delete the podcast. Take it off your phone. Well, on that note, we will encourage you not to turn off the podcast unless you're taking a break. But check us out at 3GT.fm or on Facebook or Twitter. And if you get this podcast through a service like Apple Podcasts, give us a like, leave us some comments. It helps bump it up so other people can find us. Talk to you next time.